Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today's guest from AT&T Park in San Francisco, Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, thanks so much for joining us here on Inside China Basin, your second podcast of the day. I know you got up really early to do one with Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight podcast, which I really enjoy. First of all, you know, one of the things you guys talked about on that podcast was Joe West, and you did a great story on Joe West, which was back in June. And you know, now we just hear that he gets suspended for a comment that he made in your story, as he made that comment about Adrian Beltre being a big complainer. Were you surprised about the suspension?
Yeah, shock, really. I mean, I heard about it just late last week, and I was thinking, oh, I got to hope it goes away. It doesn't really happen. You know, but it did. But, yeah, it's just kind of it's kind of a running joke that he always complains. He complains to all the umpires. You know, ball's right down the middle. He goes, hey, that's outside. He'll tell the first base umpire, hey, check my swing, you know, that sort of thing. So for them to say, you know, hey, suspend it because, you know, it looks like he's impartial or mad at Beltre, you know. You know, it's not the case, and I'm hoping it disappears. I mean, right now he is suspended, you know, not going to get those games back, you know, which he wants, but I think it's a crime that he's suspended for just talking about players.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, then more umpires are going to be really reticent to talk to reporters. You don't really hear from umpires very often. That's what I thought was great about the story, the insight that you were able to obtain there. I mean, especially, you know, when Beltre is up there complaining about a ball right down the middle and West is saying, you're a terrible umpire. You know, those kind of stories are great to hear.
Yeah, yeah. You want to hear umpires' personalities, like the guy in Pittsburgh when he helped save that woman's life, you know, that was going to jump off the bridge. But the umpires are great guys. You know, I try to go in the room, you know, once a homestand or so where I am. But, yeah, I mean, when you see a guy like, you know, a Matt Joyce just got suspended two games, you know, which is, you know, less than with Joe West. Yasiel Puig, you know, flipped off the crowd and no suspension.
Yeah.
And you're suspending Joe West for having a sense of humor?
Yeah. He does have a sense of humor. I mean, I love the story. He's been around baseball for 40 years now. And the best story that you had in there was about Pudge Rodriguez parking in the umpire spot in spring training and how Joe West said, you know, they were towing away that Porsche that was parked in the umpire spot. And Pudge lasted, what, one inning in the spring training game?
Right. He said, I got to go. I found out he faked an injury or said he had to go. But, yeah, chucking his car. So Joe had him sweating bullets thinking his Porsche was gone for the day.
It is hard for umpires these days because they're scrutinized. I mean, they've always been scrutinized, but now with the replay and everything, it's even tougher. And as Joe West said in your story, basically it's proven that they're correct 99% of the time. I don't know if that's right. But what is your overall thought about replay? Does it need to be tweaked? It certainly seems like it still takes too long.
You know, I don't know what it is about baseball. What, you know, why can we watch an NFL game or NBA, particularly a college football game, and we know whether it's a right call or wrong call within seconds? You know, now I don't know if it's the camera angles or what. I mean, we'll watch a replay over and over for 2 minutes, and we can't tell. So, you know, it's like, yeah, that's the hard part. It's like, it's just so close. And, I don't like replay, particularly in the sense where, say at second base when you slide in, your foot automatically is going to go up. So if you're off just by a millimeter, you're automatically out. And so that's why guys are sliding in head first now to keep their hands there, and they're breaking fingers and everything else. So they got to relax in some of those things.
I don't know if things have changed for you in that regard, because I'm mad at myself, because at first I was a major proponent of replay. When I was on Sirius XM every night, I kept talking about how we need to have it, and now I hate it. I mean, I absolutely don't like the way that it's implemented. I don't like the umpires running off the field and putting the headsets on and it taking so long. And exactly what you said, if you're going to look at a player's foot and how close it is to the bag or if it's off, I mean, it's just getting to be too much.
Yeah, you know, same thing at home plate. You know, just your foot's coming up. And, I would like to limit it. Like, you pick your spot when you want to try it. So now it's like everybody's, you know, late in the game. Everybody's just calling for replay. Why not? And some people are doing it just to kind of freeze a pitcher. So it's like a strategy thing. And it seems like it's getting worse and worse. You know, the umpires now in New York at least are going to the replay booth quicker, kind of anticipating a thing. So it's not as slow as it used to be. But still, when people talk about the time of the game, pace of the game, that adds on to several minutes a day.
Would you keep some of it maybe and tweak it? I mean, is there maybe a Bob Nightingale plan that you could see working?
I mean, I do like the home runs as far as, you know, fair or foul, that sort of thing. Maybe fair or foul, you know, down the lines. But otherwise, I wouldn't change, you know, much. Maybe just limit it, maybe like one time per game, that sort of thing. You know, or even if you have someone in New York and say, hey, you missed that call, and, you know, they radio down in 30 seconds and say, hey, by the way, you missed that call. Have them do it.
We'll have more with Bob Nightingale from USA Today right after this. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. SunFirst Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. SunFirst Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your SunPower solar system today.
You know, it's a sad week in baseball when you lose two real icon players in Darren Dalton, who helped the Phillies when they got to the World Series, was with the Marlins when they won the World Series, and Don Baylor, who was an MVP at one point, and, you know, great player, manager, just a really tough guy. So when you heard about both of those players passing away, what was your reaction?
Yeah, you know, Darren Dalton had the, for 4 years now, brain cancer. You know, then about a year ago, they said, oh, he's cured or, you know, cancer-free, which is very strange for brain cancer. And then just recently you heard, well, it's back. So you kind of, you know, think, okay, you kind of brace yourself a little bit. But, yeah, just a good old-school guy. Was in the clubhouse late drinking beers with guys, and all the veterans loved hanging around him. So he was a perfect guy to bounce around. You know, the ultimate old-school guy was Don Baylor. But he was just a heart of gold. I mean, he's one of the nicest guys I've met in my life. Not, you know, just baseball uniform or sports, but just in life. Truly a great guy. I mean, a tremendous heart. And that was a tough one. That was tough one to see him just because of what he meant to so many people.
Yeah, I mean, he at one point was the leader in Major League Baseball as far as being hit by pitches. And I read some quote one time from him saying he either wanted to get a hit or get hit. But it was amazing how he would get hit and have no reaction most of the time. I mean, he would get hit by these pitches, and it was just like he was a man of steel.
Yeah, he was old school. He didn't want the pitcher to know that it hurt. I think he said one time he actually had to rub it because Nolan Ryan hit him so hard he did it. And one other time he faked it. He rubbed something just because he was never hit, but he pretended like he got hit. But, yeah, just a tough old school guy. He learned a lot from Frank Robinson. Robinson was like the king of the Kangaroo Court, and then be able to learn from that. But he was just a leader every time he stepped in the clubhouse. And, you know, you look around baseball now, there are so few leaders right now. You know, we miss guys like him.
Yeah, it was amazing at the end of his career. He was bouncing around from one team to another that kept getting to the World Series. You know, 86 Red Sox, 87 Twins, they won it, 88 with the A's. But I go back to 86. I asked him one time about the Buckner play because, of course, you know, Don Baylor was hoping to win his first World Series, and it goes through his legs. And I'll never forget Baylor's answer was, it was a ground ball. The way he said it, you know, just a ground ball, and they would have won the World Series. I mean, you could tell that it still ate at him.
Well, he did manage a lot, John McNamara. I remember Don saying he would go to his house and, you know, late at night, and John would keep bringing it up. But, you know, what people forget about Buckner is the game was already messed up. I mean, it was a tie game where the ball went through Buckner's things. And so, yeah, the best thing that happened to Calvin Trawley was Bill Buckner. It's like that with the Cubs and Bartman. The best thing that happened to Alex Gonzalez, the shortstop, was Buckner, you know, booting a double play. I mean, was Bartman booting a double play ball. So, yeah, it was just a shame. And, you know, that Buckner had to live for that. In a, you know, Don was a great angel for those years, and Gene Mock had his arm around Reggie Jackson when Hendu went deep, and they were one strike away from going to the World Series for Gene Autry. So some of his games, just, you know, you remember forever.
Speaking of Steve Bartman, the Cubs gave him a World Series ring, and man, he has really been out of the spotlight, of course. What do you think of him getting the ring? I didn't know if there would be a ceremony, but apparently no. Do you think, you know, that he would ever come out and talk about it?
I don't think he will. You know, very cool on the Cubs part. Just saw the, you know, I was talking to, Dusty Baker about that. I mean, here's a fan, a diehard Cubs fan, goes to a game hoping your team wins a World Series at night, and then you're vilified forever in Chicago. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit for not trying to sell a book and go on TV, trying to make money off the thing. It's just kind of going to hiding. And it's just, you know, too bad. I mean, look at that play. There was eight sets of hands in there. The ball was in the stands. And, you know, I know you talked to Moises Alou. He blames himself. If he hadn't acted so demonstrably about it, you know, then the fans wouldn't have been so upset.
We'll continue the conversation with Bob Nightingale from USA Today in just a moment. Remember that old Abbott and Costello baseball routine? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know is on third? Well, actually, when talking about third, I do know that terzo means third in Italian, as in a third place to gather and share food and wine. That would be for your third meal of the day. Ah, yes, dinner. And it should be your first choice when you're looking for an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant. Located in the heart of Cal Hollow, Terzo is a beautiful combination of modern and cozy. Terzo's food is inspired by the coastal regions around the Mediterranean Sea, sourced from their bountiful local farms and ranches. The eclectic and diverse wine list is attractively priced, draws from regions all over the world, and is designed to pair perfectly with the cuisine. Terzo, 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco. And by the way, I do know Christian Arroyo at third base.
We're here for the Cubs and the Giants. And the Cubs, you know, it's kind of been a mediocre season. I mean, they are in first place right now as we speak, but it's a very, very tight division. How do you see this playing out?
I think the Cubs slowly pull away. I mean, they started off great right after the break, kind of skittish right now. Now they're going to Arizona, very tough place to play. But they're still the best team in the division. They're allowing Milwaukee to hang around and Pittsburgh and St. Louis to hang around. But eventually, they'll be in there. And they'll play the Washington Nationals first round. Well, it should be a great, great first round matchup.
I waited all this time on a Giants podcast to finally talk about the Giants. But, you know, it's been a miserable season. As you've watched it unfold, there's a Madison Bumgarner injury. That affected things a lot. But what are some of the other things that you have noticed? And what do you think the Giants need to do going forward to try to, you know, get back to where they were?
Yeah, just Larry Bears were off with Sarah Day talking about that. You know, talking about a World Series hangover. They kind of have a hangover over losing Game 4 last year. I think it was a psychological blow. Like, you know, first time in 11 postseason series, they finally lost one. And didn't quite have their swagger. Then, of course, the Baumgartner injury. But, you know, they haven't played well for a while now. Going back to last year's All-Star break. I think they got to go get a slugger. You know, it's imperative. Whether it's a Jay Bruce, whether it's a J.D. Martinez. They can't go in 2018. Without some guy. And I can see him moving a Joe Panic or a Brandon Belt. I think they'll be creative in the offseason. They're hoping it'd be like Arizona, where Arizona's supposed to be good last year and bounce back with the same guys. They're hoping that too, particular pitching, but they need to shake up that lineup.
Do you think it's harder for the Giants maybe than other teams because of the success they had with those guys? And, you know, led by Brian Sabian, they've always been loyal to their core kind of players, even to a fault. So do you think that's a little more difficult for them?
Yeah, I mean, so loyal to, you know, when you win, they overpay. You know, whether it's Pence, whether it was a Jake Peavy, a Lincecum, Matt Cain, you know, on and on. They've always paid the big contracts to guys who help them win, which is great. But, you know, these guys have kind of hit a wall. You know, the only fear here is how long does this last? I mean, is it a Philadelphia Philly situation, or is it just this year just an aberration? I think it'd be a very intriguing winter to see what they do. And I think they're open to training some Major League players.
To finish up, Pablo Sandoval back. I mean, you know, it's some people are saying this is kind of a publicity stunt, but, you know, he had, of course, a great career in San Francisco and just a disaster in Boston. So what are your thoughts about him?
You know, they got options on him for the next 2 years at minimum. So it's a free look. Your worst comes to worst, he's a nice power bat off the bench. I think they need him to play first base, too, because you want to get to play multiple positions. Christian Arroyo, you know, struggles or so at third base or Tomlinson or something, you can go back to Sandoval. But, yeah, I mean, he's not going to be the Sandoval of old. Those days are gone. But no reason he can't still be a major league player and help out.
Bob, thanks so much for the time. Great to see you here in San Francisco, and look forward to reading your stories the rest of the year.
All right, my pleasure.
That's Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Coming up on Friday, we'll hear from a couple of San Francisco Giants, left-handed relief pitcher Josh Osich and infielder Kelby Tomlinson. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.